Perhaps we could turn to John's Gospel, chapter 14. The only one that can encourage us in this pathway, the only encouragement that we have for our lives in the pathway here comes from the book that you have in your hand, God's Word. And when the Lord Jesus was here with his disciples, he was a word manifested. And he encouraged them all the time he was here with them. And before he left to go back to glory, John 14, he spoke of his death and his resurrection. Chapter 14, verse 3. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's a promise that we're waiting for, has not been yet fulfilled. We're waiting to hear the shout, could be this very day, when everything will change for us and we will be with the Lord. The fulfillment of this promise will be realized. He also made another promise, though, before he went home to be with the Father. He made a promise to the disciples, but for us too also. In the 14th chapter, he says, verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. And then if we go to chapter 16, there's other references to the Holy Ghost, but just read the one in chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. And 13th verse, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. And so the Lord knew that his people, you and I, would need to be comforted. We would need to have a comforter here in this scene as we journey through. And he made allowance for this before he went back. And when he went back to glory, he fulfilled that promise that he had made on the day of Pentecost. He has set the Holy Spirit down, each one here that knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior has that divine guest within. But do we realize that Holy Spirit that is within us, also the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, dwells within us? Everywhere we go, we take the Trinity with us. We've never been living in a day like this before. And all the Old Testament saints, they could have the Holy Spirit that would come and go and so forth. But we've never been living in a day such as this, a day of grace. I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 15 says, Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? And shall I then make the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. Verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have from God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. The body that I have, I can stand up here with today, is not my own. It belongs to God. The Spirit, which I'm able to speak to you from God's Word, spiritual things, belongs to God. They belong to Him. And so it's interesting in the context here where we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, our bodies being a temple. And it brings before us certain conditions. Not that we can lose the Holy Spirit that dwells within us. We cannot. But we certainly can quench that Spirit. And it mentions here about things perhaps that could quench the Spirit of God that is within us. And so, if we want to make use of the resource that the Lord Jesus has promised and had given to us on the day of Pentecost, that Holy Spirit that dwells within, we should be exercised about how we keep ourselves. And certainly the Holy Spirit is the one that takes the things of Christ and makes them good to our souls. He's our comforter here in this scene. He helps us in many different ways in our prayers. Sometimes we don't know how to pray. We're so distraught about things. And the Holy Spirit says in Romans, He groans with groanings. He makes utterance to God so that God knows what we are thinking. And we would wish to say, but we just can't find words to say it. And so, if we turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, here again, mentions verse 16, it says, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That mean to say, if we are going on with things that we shouldn't be going on with, that we don't have the Father within? No. It just means that perhaps we're missing the enjoyment that we could have knowing the Father is within. And the Father is the one that says here, ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And so he wants to be a father. He wants for you and I to be sons and daughters. He wants to help us. He wants to encourage us and strengthen us every turn of the pathway here. But sometimes we hinder that ourselves. We can hinder that enjoyment of the Father being within. And so it says, someone may say, well, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And you say, well, we're living in this century. We don't worship idols. There's no idol worship around. There's no temples of Baal anymore. There's no statues that I bow down before to and worship. Let's look at a verse in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness, which is idolatry. If we are putting something in our lives that we have an attraction to before the Lord's things, becomes an idol. That thing that we put before the Lord can shut the Lord out. It can cause us perhaps to neglect reading His Word. It can take us away. And there are many things to attract, and we may not consider them as idols, but God says that covetousness is the same thing. I don't have to spend too much time on this, but I also like to look at 1 John four, verse 12. It says that no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Well, we had in 2 Corinthians 6 that God does dwell within. Our bodies are a temple, and God dwells within. Here it's more to do with the nature of God. Nature of God is proof that we have His nature when we love one another. It says, here is in love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. And so we carry His nature with us. And we can encourage one another with that nature that we have. We can show love and kindness to one another. And I would like to go on with different examples of how we can encourage. There's many in Scripture. We can encourage one another by prayer. We can encourage one another by visitation. We can encourage one another just by helping another person in some way. There's many, many different kinds of ways in which we can encourage one another. But the Lord Jesus, he saw a need for us to be encouraged ourselves. And he did everything he possibly could to encourage us. Now, we had the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, our bodies, and we have God the Father dwelling within us. And let's look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, I believe it is. Colossians chapter 1. Speaking of the mystery here, of the church, this is the 26th verse, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, here we have Christ in us, dwelling in us. And every believer, we're taught that we're in Christ. In fact, all our blessings, it tells us in Ephesians, that we have in him. But here we have Christ in us. And I think it's nice in this verse that it brings before us Christ being in us. And then it says, the hope of glory. Isn't that nice? Because when we think of Christ, we think of the Messiah that came into this world. We think of Christ as the one that went to the cross and gave himself for us there to redeem us. And we think of our Lord Jesus Christ now as risen. And what has he given to us while we wait? Hope. It's not a chancy hope. It's a certain hope. But it's a hope of glory. We're going to be with the Lord Jesus and like him in that coming day. And so he brings before us a connection with Christ being in us, that present hope that each one of us have of soon being with the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. I'll stop there, because if I go any further, I might take up too much time. But these scriptures perhaps would encourage us. I know I was encouraged by Brother Allen. And scripture certainly can encourage us. We know that we're not Old Testament saints, but we can look back there. And we can see in their actions what they did, how it affected God's favor towards them. If they were disobedient, of course, then they would suffer consequences from God for their disobedience. If they went on faithfully, then they were commended for their faithfulness, and they had certain rewards for that. And I believe it's no different for us in the New Testament. We have more. We are more responsible. But we have the Trinity within. And as we go our way each day, if we would remember that, it might help keep us better on track.